Hello, anals. This is Fumi Abe here to tell you about two Hack City comedy shows coming to New York City and Los Angeles. If you're in those two cities, listen up. February 11th, we're going to be at Uni Hall at 7:30. Me, Fumi, and Mike will both be there. I'm going to be in town, so it's going to be crazy. And then if you're in LA, February 26th, I'm going to be at the Airliner at 8 p.m. That's going to be our first Hack City LA show. So if you're in the greater LA area, we would love to absolutely see you. Go to FumiAbe.com for tickets. That's FumiAbe.com.
Isn't that such a comment on like our whole generation's like problem with our own like self-confidence? Like we put something out there and then expect zero people to pay attention.
Yeah.
Still that with like Falcon and like Marvel. I was
really?
Like, I put it out there and I was like, no one's gonna give a shit.
Even though it's fucking Marvel?
I was so excited about it.
And welcome back to another episode of Asian Not Asian Podcast, the podcast where two Asian guys not from Asia talk about American issues no American cares about. I'm your host, Fumi Abe.
Mike Nguyen.
Today we're coming at you live from New York and LA. Today's Sunday, January 16th. We hope that this podcast finds you COVID-free. God damn, everybody is so sick. Holy shit.
It's really everywhere. Crazy. It's everywhere. Yes, if you're... if you got COVID or not, you know what? Leave us a review because that's what we're looking for. Right? If you're listening on the Apple Podcast app, leave 5 stars, leave a comment, let us know what's going on. If you're on Spotify, hit follow. I think you can leave a review as well. And if you're on YouTube, leave us a comment about, you know what? Give us a HIPAA violation and you tell us what if you're COVID positive or negative. Do it. Okay, we're not medical professionals. Okay, the HIPAA doesn't apply to us.
I didn't even realize. Yeah. You know how people like post about that shit now? They'll like post negative tests and like be all cute on Instagram. That's a HIPAA violation, yeah. Bro. I didn't even think about that.
It could be. That's crazy. It could be. Okay, you know what? So, you know, everybody stay safe out there, man. You know, that's
stay
what
safe.
Do.
And if you're listening to this on your phones, please take a screenshot, post it on Instagram stories, tag us. Yes. @Asian.AsianPod. We love it when you tag us. It's our little fetish. we always like to do a shout out to our newest Patreon members before we start the show. What is Patreon? It is the best way to support this podcast. We're a completely independent operation. So if you like what you've been hearing, if you're picking up what we're putting down, please go to patreon.com/AsianNotAsianPod and consider donating some of your hard-earned money to our operation. That money helps to pay for our studio, our editor, producer, our social media manager. These people are very fucking expensive, okay? Mike and I, we're in the red, and we need your money. So if you like us, please donate, and in return, you get a shout-out on this podcast where we try to guess your ethnicity purely based on your last name, and we also slide into your DMs, and you get access to monthly bonus episodes. There's like 20 or 30 on there now. We do it once a month. So if you want to hear more of me and Mike, please go to patreon.com/AsianNotAsianPod. Here we go. Yeah. The four newest Patreon members of the week. We got Andrew Kang, K-A-N-G.
Kang.
That's Korean. That's Korean.
I'm going to say Korean. Nailed Korean. It.
This Perfect. One is next one is Zoe Tamaki.
Tamaki.
That's Japanese.
That's Japanese. Real That's cute Japanese. Japanese, too. Just like indie Japanese person.
It's interesting. I feel, you know how, like, you can tell, honestly, without even the last name, sometimes you can tell if somebody's, like, Korean, if they have a Christian-ass name, like Esther.
Oh, like,
you know,
yeah,
Esther
Grace.
Esther is, like, Grace, right?
Yep.
Those are very...
Holy Spirit. Yep.
Holy Spirit
ghost, Kang. Ghost Dude, Park. That's a Korean name.
Right? I feel, I don't know why, and if there are any Japanese American listeners, you let me know. I know like 4 Japanese American Zoes, and I don't know why.
Because
I feel that's like an indie white name to begin with, but I'm not sure what it is, but I know like 4 Japanese American Zoes, so.
Oh, shit. I didn't
let me know if you know the history with that. That's interesting.
Okay.
Yeah. Japanese as hell. Oh, these are easy today, man. This is so nice.
These Next are easy got, today. Thank God. Woo! We've been nailing them. Yeah.
Next, we have James Song, S-O-N-G.
You know what? This is actually kind of a trick because I want to say this person is
That's Korean.
Korean, but Song could also be Japanese. I mean, sorry, Chinese. I feel it's Chinese. Could be Chinese.
Can it? No. S-O-N can be Chinese, I think. S-O-N-G, I think, is Korean.
No, S-O-N is also Korean.
No, S-O-N is Korean, but you're saying S-O-N-G can also
be? I feel S-O-N-G could also could be Korean or Chinese.
Okay, who is that dancer from the Kaba Modern? The head... His name is Song. Mike Song. He's a famous... breakdancer. You've talked to him about it before. You know Mike Song?
Yeah.
He's Korean.
No, I get that, but I'm saying I think also Song could also be a Chinese name.
Okay, well name one That's Chinese guy named Song. Do you know?
Well, James Song. How about that?
Okay, well, fuck, you're Chinese, bro. Fuck, you're Chinese.
You're Chinese
guy
or Korean,
to...
one of the two. You
you're
know
a Chinese
which
guy
right.
trying to ride the Korean wave. I see you.
Don't do that.
I
okay?
see
we
you.
Tried
don't
that before,
it.
Okay?
Don't do it. Ride your
we
own
do
wave.
Do it all the time. Yeah.
Ride your own wave. And last but not least, we have J.Lim.
Lim.
I mean, that's Chinese, but I don't know what J stands
Chinese.
For.
I'm gonna say Taiwanese for sure. Yeah,
he's a Taiwanese pop star, dude. J.
J.Lim.
J.Lim.
Oh,
shit, oh
such a good
that sounds
album.
Hot.
Woo!
Woo! Dude, Taipei Nights, that's a great song. Taipei Night Market, that's a great
Taipei,
song.
Taipei Night Market? Oh, shit. Girl, meet me at the
have
pork
you been?
Stand.
Dude, the Taipei yeah. Night Market is fucking tight. Oh, it's a great spot.
Okay, that'll be one of our... If we get to fucking $10,000 of Patreon money, we'll go to Taipei Night
we
Market.
We fucking should. We should
I'll
do a little Asia
go.
Trip. Me and you, and we'll film the whole thing, but we would
we'll
need like $10,000 a month to
we
do this.
We need $10,000 at know, least to yeah. do that. And I also need money because of a divorce lawyer that I would need to get in order for me to do this. We should need so much money.
Well, thank you so much for donating. And if you want to get in on this game, please go to patreon.com/asian.asianpod where we will guess your ethnicity based on your last name. Moving on, we always like to start this podcast by asking each other what kind of Asian we were this week to figure out what it means to be Asian American in this goddamn world because it's so confusing. So, Mike, what kind of Asian were you this week?
Today, this week, I was a duplicate Asian. A duplicate
Ooh,
Asian.
Yeah.
I got the classic, somebody thought I was somebody else thing. So I was at the club. I was chilling, and
this
was
is
on
stand up comedy club, not a dance club. Listeners,
not a dance club. At a dance club, you're trying to look like everybody else. But yeah. I was at a stand up comedy club. I was waiting to do the show, and this is like a big show. It's a free show, and so it's like really crowded, and like so there's a lot of like audience members, but there's a ton of regular, of comedians there, tons and tons of them, like. I would say like 30. It was like a shit ton of people because they just want to show face. So I was sitting there, and on two occasions, a young comic dude comes up to me, right up to me, and then right at the last minute is like, "Oh wait, I thought you were somebody else." So twice. That's happened twice. And on one of them, I had my mask on because I was trying to be safe. So I had my mask on one of them. But, come on. You know me. All right. I got my big glasses. I got my hat.
Well, I'm just trying to think of like who they thought you were. But so you're saying they were. So they didn't go as far as like try to talk to you as if you were somebody else. They camped you and they cut themselves.
They caught up.
Okay, so that's progress.
Right there.
That's progress. That's 2022. That's 2022. You know what I'm saying? Like it almost got
insane.
Real racist, but you got away with like a low grade level.
Like a drive by racism.
Like a drive by.
Oh shit!
Like didn't get out of the car. It didn't get that serious.
Yeah,
your window's broken. It sucks. We'll get you a new window with this Patreon money. Yeah, it's fine.
But I was trying to think about it. I mean, I was like, who else like even looks like me? But then I realized that like when this happens, when duplicate Asian happens, it doesn't even you don't even have to look like the person at all. Like at all. Like not even close.
Yeah.
That's
true,
you know what I'm saying?
True.
Like I'm sure people were like, "Is that Fumi? Is that Fumi? When did Fumi become Vietnamese?" You know?
Yeah,
like,
they
just roll right up to you and just be like, "Hey."
Yeah.
But it happened and so now I'm trying to think, is there another cool Asian? I like to think of myself as the cool Asian guy in the scene. Is there another cool Asian in the scene, like a new guy that I don't know that all the young guys.
You know how like when you get to a certain level in comedy, people try to copy your style, and it's a compliment. And by style, I don't necessarily always mean comedically, but sometimes it's your voice, sometimes it's your delivery, sometimes it's the way you look. I remember when we first started, a lot of people were copying Kate Berlant, who is like a very successful comedian. She's in a bunch of TV shows and stuff. A lot of girls were copying that style of comedy, like the way she talks and stuff.
Word.
I remember like. Girls like kind of going for that butch look, like the like Caitlin Plouffe does that. Like a lot of girls do that because of her. Like Caitlin Plouffe, very funny comedian. Check out her Colbert set out. But you could be at that level where you're like, it's like, oh, I'm an Asian comedian. I don't know how to do this. I don't know how to stand out.
Maybe
you know?
I should try to like get a little look going.
Yeah,
I can see that, especially if you're Asian, because then you can kind of, what I'm saying.
You might get booked that way too. Yeah.
You know what's funny though is that I'm like that's like the most niche influencer ever. Can influence a very tiny amount of people who don't have any money. Okay, so if you're a brand out
open
there,
open micers.
If you're a brand, baby, if you're a brand looking for an influencer, hey, you know what? Why not get a guy who can influence people who have no money? That's me. So my DMs are open, Polo. If you're interested.
Goddamn.
How about you, Fumi? What kind of Asian were you this week?
Dude, this was kind of heavy, but I was a breakthrough Asian. Okay.
Okay.
Had a nice breakthrough in therapy.
Okay.
So
okay.
You know,
keep going.
Okay. So you know how, like, I think I've talked about this on the podcast before, but, like, you know, I write comedy for a living, but I think I've expressed that, like, you know, sometimes a lot of times I feel like I don't know what I'm doing or that I shouldn't really be there. It's not like always like the best fit for me. And that's not me shitting on anybody else. It's just shitting on me myself. I think the other writers that are like extremely funny, and they're funny in the way that maybe the show needs them to be funny, you know?
Yes.
And I can tap into that sometimes, but a lot of times I'm just like, oh, I don't know. Like, I don't think about this, or like, I would try this, but it's like, we don't do that, you know? And I think months and months of that can like be mentally exhausting, because sometimes I'm just like, why am I a comedian? Like, I'm so not funny, you know? I'm so not funny. So it's like talking to my therapist about this feeling, right? And a couple of things I mentioned. You know how we've had like Sierra Cattell on the podcast, and like we discussed that in this world, in America, there are a group of kids who are like 16, 17, Asian or not, and they're like, I want to be a comedy writer. I watch TV and I'm like, wow, I wish I could be a writer on The Office. I'm going to go to school and try to be that, you know? And I would love The Office, obviously. Not once when I was younger did I think I wanted to write for them. That was like not really.
Yeah, yeah.
I love that show. I never wanted to write for them, you know? That's just not something I wanted. But for some weird reason, I gravitated towards stand-up and not writing initially, right? Stand-up, not writing. Not acting. Stand-up specifically. And to just keep this short, I think ultimately, like, I think I started comedy not because I like to laugh or because I like jokes, but I think I'm just trying to, like, find a place where I, like, can be 100% myself and, like, belong.
Oh, my God, bro.
You know what I mean? Like, it's not even about the... Because sometimes people are like, you write for late night. Like, I mean, you could write, like, a thousand jokes in a minute. I'm like, I cannot. You know what I mean? I can write, like, 30. No. You know? But, like... And, like, a lot of them aren't good. Like, I learned how to do it because I've been doing it for, like, almost a year now. Like, I'm pretty good at, like, stuff now, you know? But it's like...
Yep.
I don't know if they're any good. I wouldn't necessarily call them jokes. You know, I would call them word association. But I don't think they're. I don't
You're
think
super
I would
good
go,
at yeah crossword puzzles.
I respect
bro.
The I respect the concept of jokes too much to say that. But like, you know, because my therapist asked me, so she was like, "What show would you want to write for? In an ideal world." And I named like two shows. Oh, I could only name two shows that I would really want to write for.
Yeah.
And I was like, what does that mean? In the history of television, there's only two shows I want to write for. And those shows both came out like 2 years ago, which means like only 2 years ago did I start thinking like, oh, I would love to contribute to that. You know, I feel like my life experience would really help this show. Not saying that it would, you know, I ain't shit. But like just to even have that thought of like, oh, I think it could be fun to be in this room because I have a lot of experiences that are close to what this guy's talking about. You know?
Yes.
And I specifically named like Rami and Pen 15, but again, those are like both identity shows that came out
very,
like
very
two fucking
much
years.
About,
they're
like,
so new. They're so new. So that means
they're very new.
I started comedy in 2014. That means until 2020, I didn't even once think I could contribute to a thing I saw on TV. Isn't that weird?
No, I get it. I get it, man. I feel too the writing thing. You know, we've had a couple of writers. We had Mark Kramer on here, and like he's super funny. Like doing that sort of thing is super cool and interesting, I feel. But it's like I could see where if you were doing that, if you had originally gotten into this business as like a writer or whatever, improver or something like that, and you're writing, it's like not the same thing. Do you know what I'm saying? It's like not. Yeah. It's like you're tangentially in the business, but you're not like doing the thing you're. Like you came in here to do. Does that make sense?
Right. Yeah.
I feel like recently I started like doing little self tapes for commercials, and because I've been wanting to try to do acting, right?
Yeah.
And so I got this like thing, you know, just I send in a tape, and you're supposed to be like a crypto douchebag, and I was like, that's me. Okay, that's perfect.
Yeah.
You know, and I remember like you just there was no script. It was just like beats. It was like okay, do this and then do that. And I remember I was like, I wrote myself a little thing and I was like, this writing is way better than my acting is going to be, you know? Like,
I wrote this little thing
because I was like, I'm much better at this than the acting. And then, you know, it was just like something that made me think about it. But I hear you as far as like, do it because like you're like a comedian you're doing comedy and now you're thinking, if I'm not even good at this, what am I good at? Right. Where am I supposed to go now? Do you know what I'm saying? Which is, it's just like, I'm sometimes really envious of people who are like really good at whatever, you know, fucking programming Python or fucking, being a consultant, you know, great. Yeah. I'm like envious of people who are really good and feel like they've found the thing they're good at and they do it and you know, they make money doing it. You know, because I feel it's so hard to find the thing where I'm like, oh man, I really know what I'm doing and I'm really good at it, you know, and I'm really like crushing it, you know? So I don't know. I don't know if that's exactly kind of what the anxiety you were feeling, you know, but I understand that tension, man, for sure.
Yeah, it's like, it's just like a scary feeling because you're right. It's just like, oh man, like I don't want to do anything else, you know? Like I can't go back to the marketing job I had. You know what I mean? Like I got to do it, so... But I was a breakthrough Asian, man. I'm just
a
sad boy looking for a place to belong. You know what I'm saying? I'm just trying to find that writer's room who they're gonna accept me for who I am and my knack for fleshlights.
Yeah, and that writer's room will be immediately closed because the show didn't sell. The show is actually canceled. It was canceled right away. There's not a market for this at all.
Yeah.
Anyways,
well, let's get to our guest, man. Who do we got this week?
Oh man, this guest is I'm so excited. Just like a fucking nice guy. Okay, our guest here.
Yeah, I'm getting a good vibe already.
Getting a good vibe.
I really am. All right,
just already, just getting a great vibe from him. I'm loving it. He's been laughing at our jokes while on mute, which is so nice of him. Our guest has appeared in Marvel's Falcon and the Winter Soldier, With Love, and the Shannara Chronicles. He's an actor. Cool guy. That's what I just want to say. Cool guy. Okay, that's his big credit, right? Give it up right now for Desmond Chiam.
Hey, what's up, guys?
What's going on?
What's going on? What's going on?
Thanks for having us on. I'm so excited.
You sexy, dude. Sexy man.
It's awesome. It's awesome. I never get to go on Zooms with beautiful people, and it's really nice.
That's not true. You're on with him every week. Come on, every month.
Hey. No.
Hey, you're beautiful.
Thank you.
But I don't know. Yeah.
Desmond, by the way, did we pronounce your last name right? We forgot to ask you.
I think so. I don't know. Look, I don't even know how to pronounce it myself, to be frank. Chum. It's Chum. It's exactly that. But having grown up in Australia, where like it was mispronounced like every single day, I was like, yeah, I guess that's one.
Yes.
Chiam. People say Chiam a lot. I was like, yeah, sure.
Chiam.
Okay. Now, is that... Wait, Mike, do we know what his family heritage is based on that last... I've never met a Chum.
Actually, yeah.
Never met a Chum.
I read in our research what he is, so I know.
But well, I'm guessing Chinese, but you know.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
It's
you guys know
the Chinese surname Zhang. Zhang, right?
Dong?
Zhang.
Zhang. Zhang. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's the Singaporean corruption of that.
Whoa.
Surname. It's exactly the same surname.
Oh, I didn't realize.
Can I say that I never thought that Singaporean Chinese would be so big right now. It seems like, you know, like in the last couple of years, like I think people, Ronnie has this great joke about how the only time people kind of knew about Singapore was like when that white kid got caned.
Yep.
Flash forward 20 years later and like Singaporean Chinese actors, we got Crazy Rich Asians, we got all sorts of stuff.
You know what it is? Is this like weird? Oh man! And it couldn't have happened to a worse group of people as well. I shouldn't say that. No.
Oh my god!
I love my home country, but like we have an ego. Singapore is well known for having like an ego in the Southeast Asian region.
Really?
They think they're better than everyone, and then now they just have the marketing to like prove it, and it's insufferable now.
Why do Singaporean people think they're better? Is it like?
Well, I mean,
Is it the British influence?
I think it is a bit of that. That sort of like, you know, the economic come up that they had, you know, they broke off from it. Like, they have no natural resources and we still made it in the world. It's like truly like an island that bootstrapped itself. It kind of did in a lot of ways, but it was a lot of smart planning on the part of the prime minister. It was, I mean, he like basically told the CIA to go like fuck themselves when they were like, hey, let us come like sub-colonize your country. And he was like, no, fuck off. And that was great. Wow. You know, strong moment. But like otherwise, but it kind of, it has led to a real holier than thou kind of feeling.
Wow. And
it's like, look at us having to clean up all the messes. And it's like, well, that's not strictly true either. You guys come down. But I don't know what's up with, like, I guess it's that Western intersection if I really had to, like, break it down. Like,
yeah,
it helps
absolutely.
Us work in Hollywood.
I mean, you guys speak English. Your English is your primary language. Yeah.
And so British, also, like, internationally educated, you know, like, Ronnie, like you said, he went to, you know, he was in Australia for a long time and you know, it sort of lends itself to that, I guess.
I'm sorry, is your accent, is this a Singaporean accent or is it an Australian?
No, this is Aussie.
That's what I thought.
And code switch, but, like...
Yeah, because if I remember, I lived in Singapore in 97, and it did not sound like that.
No. Catch me talking to my family, and then you'll remember. You'll get flashbacks to 97.
That's interesting. You can code switch between accents. I don't know. That's so because that's like
Asian people do that, right?
We code switch culturally and by saying dude a lot, but like I don't know if Mike and I moved to like Alabama, I don't think that we'd come up. You know, we'd come back to New York being like. Whatever, however some people talk, you know.
I only got the one, but I will say that no, when I went to, you know, when I go to Texas to visit friends, I will start saying y'all more often. You know what I'm saying? And I have, you know, more guns. I don't know. You know, it's like I just have more of those things. So I feel like. But
what happens to the guns when you leave Texas?
I don't know. I don't know
what happens. Like
disappear. Yeah, they just disappear. It's code switching, Desmond. Okay.
It's
code switching away from my guns. Desmond, so glad you're on. This is super excited. What kind of Asian were you this week? You heard me and Kumi talking about our things, you know. It doesn't have to be a big deal. So, sometimes we're like a donut Asian, you know, whatever, you know.
I listened to you guys' podcast, so I was like brainstorming amazing. All the last like 3 days. I mean, like, what kind of Asian am I? I have to come up with a funny answer. And I'm like, honestly, just stressed. I've been a stressed Asian. I've been a stressed type A Asian, not to like lean into stereotypes, but Asian parent. Like I just got the marching orders to like, I live in LA, but then they were like, you're flying out to New York in like 2 days. And there's something about having just enough time, but not enough time. You know, that awkward amount of time. That's like, now I'd have to do everything in these 2 days. And I'm like, I must clean up my whole house and I have to pack today on Tuesday, even though I'm leaving on Friday and I need to do it now, because if I forget something, then at least I have Wednesday to put the thing that I forgot into the bag, but I zipped up my bag too early, but now I can't. So now I have to have another suitcase. It's just like, it just spiraled out of control. And then on top of that, there was the whole, like, you know, what kind of Asian am I, just lurking in the background? And I'm like, I can't come up with anything. I'm just stressed.
You know what I like about hot Asian guys? Hot Asian guys know how to get work done, you know? Like, you're cleaning, you're vacuuming. Hot white guys, they don't even know how to make coffee. I swear to you. They don't.
That's true.
Because hot white guys, people do stuff for them their entire lives. They don't know how to order things online. They don't know how to do anything. Hot Asian guy, you still got that voice back.
Can't use Amazon Prime.
You got your mom right here telling you to clean, telling you to do whatever.
You know, I love that. To do it.
Yeah, I love that one of your things was to clean up your house. I'd have just like walked out. I would just
been
like,
dirty house.
Not my problem anymore, you know?
My parents would literally, I can't come back to a dirty house. My parents would just manifest at the door, which they've done, mind you. And they live
just
in not this
in.
Country.
Yeah.
So like.
Just flew in just to check. Just to check.
Yeah. Oh, man.
That's crazy.
It would be stuff.
I also wanted to say this is a little early, but I think this will come out. This episode will come out like right before. But you know, hey, Happy New Year! Also,
yes,
Happy New Year, baby.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Are you? You're Chinese, so you celebrate the New Year.
Yeah,
you do all that
stuff.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah, it's like a big thing. It's because I used to spend that in Singapore. Like we would go over for Christmas and then we just stay till February and have a big old holiday for like 2 months. And it was just December, Christmas, like lines, you take all the Christmas ornaments off the Christmas tree and then just put red packets on it.
Oh, shit.
Keep the tree up. Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, keep the tree up. Exactly.
Damn. I love that. Oh, yeah. I mean, that's so I feel like Lunar New Year is like the only time where Asian people are allowed to act like it's a white girl on her 16th birthday, you know?
Oh, my God. Yeah.
Just fucking 2 months nonstop. Just.
Yeah.
Birthday quarter.
Yeah.
Is there like any like special is there any special like like Singaporean twists on like Chinese New Year, Lunar New Year?
I don't know if this is I don't know the specifics of my culture well enough to we do this thing where we like toss these like super long noodles with fish. That might be a generally Chinese thing, or it might just be specifically like Cantonese Chinese, or it might just be Singaporean. I don't know. But it's like the whole long life noodles thing. I feel like every Asian culture has something like that.
Yeah.
And we eat a lot. That's not specific. That's like the most general statement ever. Everyone eats a lot in the holidays.
Yeah, that, that Yeah, that's what makes you an Asian person is eating alone. yeah. How about this? Is there, you know, do people? Does your family who's still in Singapore, they go, oh man, Desmond's really killing it. We better be getting mad lucky money from people. Like, are your...
Oh yeah, because you're on fucking TV, dude.
Is that are you giving it out yet? You know, I mean, you're giving it out. No. You're married, but like, yeah. Are not they going yet, like, because... dude, this guy's got Falcon money, you know?
Nah.
Are you kidding me?
Yo, give me that vibranium, dog. Yeah, give me that vibranium cash.
Marvel really, really pays a lot of money. I shouldn't say too much. Those streaming Marvel shows, they pay so much. Because that's the only show that's made it over to Singapore. Like, every other show has been blocked in some way or another.
Blocked?
Like, with Love hit, I don't know how much I can say about this, but screw it. Like, with Love hit, Singapore has really strong censorship. So there's like some sex scenes in With Love, and Singapore was like, absolutely not. None of the other stuff has made it over there. So like, none of the other stuff has culturally penetrated any of my like relatives' brains. Yeah, just sort of like, oh, he's still kind of like, yeah, he's trying to make it. Which, like, you know, still feels like that in a lot of ways, but in other ways, relatively stable.
So many questions. Hold on. I understand Singapore has like a censorship thing. You said they blocked out a sex scene. Is it because you are Asian? Like, for example, do they not import like Fast and Furious over there? Like other American PG-13 movies with sex scenes?
It's a little fast and loose, specifically. But like, a good example is like, I had the pirated VCD of Love Actually growing up, the Singaporean version. And have you guys watched that movie?
Love Actually?
I have not.
Yeah. You remember the porn couple?
Yes. Okay.
They don't exist in the Singaporean cut.
So they cut that whole storyline out.
I did not know that they existed until I came to America like 10 years later.
Oh my God.
So wait, hold on. The first time
you
watched that, you're like, what the fuck is this?
Yeah.
That's so funny.
I was like, oh, there's something wrong with this DVD. Like, someone's taped over it. This is like weird. You burned over a section of the DVD with some porn, Sammy.
I'm just imagining, hey, let's sit down and watch this with like the family. I got the American cut, you know? Okay, grandma, grandpa, sit right over here. And then there's the banging scene. Yeah.
I can't have... That means right now there's some like teenager in Singapore watching Game of Thrones being like, damn, I wish they would just have sex. They're so hot.
Dude, there's just so much... It's so boring.
Yeah. So you know? Boring.
You know, that brother-sister seem real close.
Yeah.
It's just bad, like, graphic effect of them, like, hugging like a gif.
Yeah. I'm imagining now, too, that you're, like, smuggling in somehow DVDs of Marvel streaming movies to show... your family, like, no, I'm this is real. I'm real. Check this out. Like, I brought these fake.
No,
I got these
real,
DVDs
like...
from East LA. You know,
getting my family to go to Sim Lim Square. It's this like dodgy place. It's like this. It used to be dodgy in Singapore, but like,
right.
No, at least they got Falcon at least over there. They had Disney Plus, fortunately.
Okay,
which is nice. So they were like, cool, you got one thing, and I'm like, and a few others. But that's okay. You know what? That's fine. That's fine. You're gonna go over there. That's all right.
wanted to just like kind of talk about how we met you. I feel like, so the first time I met you, I don't know if you remember, I've only met you like once, so I don't know why you wouldn't remember, but okay. So like the first time I met you, we were we're at the Knitting Factory in Brooklyn. Mm-hmm. And Momoa Fumi, he was getting he was his comedy quinceañera, as we call it, which is his, it was a big show. It's still a big show. It's like the big show at the Knit, and Fumi's doing it. So I went down there and Alexander Hodge was there.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, hey, Alexander, blah, blah, blah. And it was, I didn't expect to see him there because I just didn't know. So it was cool. And then you showed up. And then I was like, there was just like hot Asian guys coming out of the woodwork now. Just like 14 dudes with like beautiful hair. And I actually thought, I didn't know you're an actor because you were like so jacked. I was like, this guy's clearly like a CrossFit trainer. Or something like that. Yeah. You know, do you remember this?
Yeah, I do. Yeah. I was meeting Kimmy that night, and she was like, "Hey, my friends are doing a comedy show over at the Knit. Let's stop by."
Yeah, you know what's crazy? Alex and Kimmy came to see me because I posted it. And
it's so
I
nice.
And like that didn't click for me. The fact that like my friends would just want to come see me do stand up. So when they were there, I was like, "What are you doing?" I was like, I wasn't like mad, but I was like, "What are you doing here?" And I remember I like after the show, I like left immediately. I think they wanted to hang out or something, but I was like, "Okay, bye." Like I didn't know how to, I like didn't know how to handle it because I haven't had a friend come see me do stand up in like so long, you know?
Isn't that such a comment on like our whole generation's like problem with our own like self-confidence? Like we put something out there and then expect zero people to pay attention.
Yeah.
I was still that with like Falcon and like Marvel. I was
really?
Like, I put it out there and I was like, no one's going to give a shit.
Even though it's fucking Marvel?
I was so excited about it.
Yeah, I was like zero expectations. You can ask my wife. I was like, I posted some stuff up and I was like, I'm going to be off this for the rest of the night because no one's going to care and that's going to trigger me and I'm going to go sit somewhere quietly and play some, like, I don't know.
That's so crazy. You could get something from Marvel, arguably like literally the most influential entertainment entity in the world right now, and you're like, ah, it's whatever, you know.
It's our complex, man. It's yeah. We need to be break the rations about this.
Yeah,
that's true. Yeah,
I think we share
true.
This.
I was gonna say, so like, it's interesting to hear. You know, hey, I feel like we did a lot of research and there's a lot of stuff where it's like, you know, we keep calling you a hot guy. I hope that's okay. Because
that
we don't want to stereotype you. Because it sounds like you do get stressed. You do get real stressed about your career.
Yeah.
You can get.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like everyone. And look, the whole Asian hot guy, I think, is like such a cultural reaction. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like we were shit on for so long that like there's a few of us that kind of like, and you know, when you're like 18, 17, when you don't like being a thing, you're like, I'm going to be the diametric opposite of this thing.
Yes,
and
yes.
A bunch of us did that for like only that for like 8 years, like dedicated life to it. And now we're sort of realizing that that doesn't substitute a personality, you know. A few of us like more successfully than others, but it is sort of that like weird thing of like, okay, we've done this, and it actually doesn't really mean that much to just be good looking. Like, what else?
Yes.
What else should we be doing with?
What else
like,
should we be doing
with our like platform? I hate that because we're like the least qualified people in the room to be doing that. But yeah, it's like there's a bunch of dudes in LA where it's like the hot Asian guys, and it's like, cool, awesome. What else now?
Now what?
That was real short lived. I feel like, it's hot Asian guys. A personality was like in the industry was helpful for like 6 months.
Yeah.
But now you have to be like, oh, do you also do comedy or do you write or do you dance? You know.
All the Kevin's out there just being like, damn it, I have to have something else now.
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
Yeah,
the crazy part is most of us did have like some other talent as well, is because we were like, again, so shit on that like we had to have something. Right.
Yeah,
we had to have like
a
risk free portfolio for a social economics or whatever.
What a way to call it. You just pulled up my Vanguard portfolio just now and talked to me about that shit.
Mike, you snacky ass motherfucker.
that's what everybody calls me, babe. They go, they know Mike Nguyen is the snacky motherfucker. Okay, I love me some snacks. All right, sometimes I like.
Yeah, what are some of your favorite snacks? What are your top snacks right now in your life?
Man, top snacks, man. Okay, man. All right, you know, sometimes you got the classic apple. Okay, so apple slices. Okay,
damn.
Sometimes I want to be a dirty boy and I get some chips. Okay, but I recently discovered this new delicious snack. It's called Irvin's Salted Egg. It is so good.
Irvin's Salted Egg is Singapore's number one snack. Irvin's is the original and best salted egg chip. They are the ones who started it all. Many brands have tried to imitate it, but none have come close. And I gotta tell you, Anos, Mike and I got three bags of these chips.
Ugh.
And I didn't even know what they were when they came
so
in. I was
good.
Like, what is this? Another freaking sponsor? Put it in my mouth. It blew my mind. It is probably the best chip, Asian chip thing I've had in like a very long time. And I think quality-wise, it's maybe on par or better than the stuff that you get in your Asian market. I'm not even joking.
Oh,
it's
real
good,
man. It's real good. They use real salted duck eggs. They use fresh curry leaves, red peppers, Tyson's of the bag. It's real ingredients. You can taste it. It gets all over the place. It's so yummy.
Now that they're here in the U.S., you no longer have to smuggle their snacks into your suitcase, which apparently was a very common thing, and it's also illegal.
don't be getting caught by the DEA because you got snacks, okay? They're available nationwide at H-Mart, Ranch 99, and select Costco locations. Go visit eatirvins.com. That's EATIRVINS.com and use code Asian, not Asian, for 15% off any order. Go check it out.
Bruh!
Yo!
What up?
How many
subscriptions do you think you have? You pay for right now,
including
Mike.
Including the ones my wife doesn't know about, like 20.
Yes,
easily,
dude. I mean, and how many do you think you're actively using,
dude? Like 3, maybe. You know what I'm saying?
That's crazy. So you're literally wasting like hundreds and hundreds of dollars every month, money that you could be contributing to the Patreon. If I'm being completely honest,
it's true. But you know what it is that a lot of times these subscription services make it like super freaking hard in order to cancel it, because it's like buried in some thing, or you got to do some weird thing with like two different phones to confirm some ish like that. It's crazy, man. All right,
absolutely. And And what we got to do is we got to fight back against scammy subscriptions with Truebill.
Truebill is the new app that helps you identify and stop paying for subscriptions you don't need, want, or simply forgot about.
On average, people save up to $720 a year with Truebill.
Because companies make subscriptions hard to cancel, Truebill makes it incredibly simple. Just link your accounts and Truebill will cancel your unwanted subscriptions in one tap.
And your Truebill concierge, there when you need them to cancel unwanted subscriptions so you don't have to, and maybe other things if you're nice to him or her.
It's very fancy. Yeah, man, I use Truebill. I canceled like a whole bunch of stuff. It saves me like 30 bucks. It saved me like 30 bucks a month. I'm going to save like over like $300 this year alone, man. It's crazy.
That's amazing. What are you going to do with that money, you think?
I'm probably going to, just buy socks.
Nice. Truebill has over 2 million users and helped save them over $100 million.
Ooh-wee. Okay, don't fall for subscription scams. Start canceling today at Truebill.com/Asian. Go right now. Truebill.com/Asian. It can save you thousands a year. Truebill.com/Asian. We were doing the research, and it says here you're also a dancer. And you like picked it up. When
you dance? I was joking. I hate that about you. Okay, go ahead.
That's what I'm saying. We have to be.
He has so many ways to take your woman.
Shit.
Fumi is sweating. Look at him. Dude. He's sweating.
Because, like Mike and I, we're like the, before comedy too, we were like the goofy kid in high school because it's like, this is all I got. I can make you laugh. Yeah,
this is it.
And now you have to touch my penis because this is, you know what I mean? But, but like, there are real people with abs, all six abs, by the way, all six abs, and they dance and they got facial hair. It's a problem. But please proceed. Yeah. Let's proceed.
Also, Desmond can do comedy. So,
and he was a lawyer. He was smart.
I don't know, man. Like, blame my parents.
I wanted to talk to you very quickly. You did an exchange program. You went to UC Irvine, which I think you had an exchange program at UC Irvine, which makes you like wildly Asian American. That is like super duper Asian American to do that. Wanted to ask first, like, why UC Irvine? Because like I don't know how it works with your. Did you just know you're gonna have a good time there? What's going on?
You went to like the number one school in Australia is UC Irvine. Not shitting on them,
school.
But like it's a good school. But it's like yeah.
But like anywhere. Yeah, go ahead.
I had no idea. No, I thought that like LA, I didn't know much about how America works. I didn't know you had this crazy urban sprawl over here, especially when you're out on the West Coast. And any other fucking city in the world, if you're an hour or an hour 20 outside that city and someone asks you where you're from, you still say, oh, I'm from that city. Like if I'm from Box Hill or like freaking, I don't know, like the Sticks in Melbourne, someone says, where are you from? I'm still like, oh, I'm from Melbourne, right?
Yeah.
So I just wanted to come to LA. That was the thing. I was like, oh, I'm a little interested in this, like maybe what's going on in this film. I like films. Okay, cool.
Sure.
Let's go to LA and check it out. And my school didn't have an exchange program with UCLA. And I was like, well, surely it's like Melbourne where there are several universities in this one city. I'm going to look for another one. And the closest one was UC Irvine. I was like, great, I'll go to this suburb of Los Angeles. And I had no idea how like LA
not
worked geographically
close. Yeah.
at all. So and until I got here, got off the plane, got in the cab, and was like jumped in the cab. I was so excited. It was like the fucking Miley Cyrus song.
And you landed at in LAX,
yeah.
I assume.
Yep.
Yeah,
I landed at LAX, yep. And then it was like, and then I slowly watched like LA and Hollywood vanish behind
and now
me
you're,
as I rolled
and
into
then
Irvine,
way the fuck far away.
Which
Crystal Cathedral's there, fucking.
Yep.
Yes.
Which just yep. like, and I don't like Irvine is the most white picket fence. Like,
oh yeah. Oh
they
yes.
They have a color. They have a color. Irvine brown is their emblematic color, and it's like, this is not what I thought it was gonna be, at all. But fortunately, it worked out. Fortunately, it was the best year of my life. Fortunately.
Okay. Good. Okay. Well, because I was gonna say I grew up in Orange County where that was, and Irvine is exactly what you kind of said. For me, it always got that. I always got the feeling that like everything was too perfect, you know. Like everything is so clean and nice and new that you're like, okay, for sure, there's a satanic cult here, 100%. 100%. They're kidnapping children and murdering them, like in the In and Out. You know, like because it was just too nice. You know, I don't know if you ever got that sense there.
Oh, when I was looking for apartments there, I didn't know as well, but every single like public apartment, well, not public apartment, but every single apartment is like owned by the same company in Irvine.
Yes,
the Irvine company.
Yes.
And so I walked in the morning. I had two apartment tours scheduled. So I walked into the first one and met this woman named Kristen. And she was very nice, very pleasant blonde woman who was like, hi, welcome to our apartment complex. Let me show you the facilities and all the stuff. And like, would you like a cookie? Like very, scary, welcoming, right? But still like, oh, this is nice. Okay, great. And then later in the afternoon, I went to this other one on the other side of Irvine and it was the same woman. And I was like, what is going on? And she behaved in this weird way where like she wasn't acknowledging that we'd met earlier.
We had
already
met.
She sort of did, but she was like, it was like, hi. It was the same Cam Green. He was like, hi, nice to see you. Welcome to this apartment. I was like, Kristen, we don't have to do this. You've done this before already.
No, she has to run. She has to run the program. For she has to.
Yeah.
Oh,
she was just
I see.
For someone, but it was just like terrifying.
It would be great if she had met you and she actually had a different name and she was just completely different. You know what I'm saying? It was just, it's just a clone. Just like, yeah, I'm yeah, Kristen yeah. too. Hi there. You know.
Congratulations. I don't know if you guys watch Avatar, the Last Airbender, but it's like that the woman who welcomes them to the Earth Kingdom. It's that like tourist guide woman. It was like that vibes.
Oh, okay. I love it when a hot guy makes an Avatar reference. Love it. come back down to my level. Okay.
I love it.
Wait, Desmond, let me ask you something. Like, so you see Irvine. Mike, correct me if I'm wrong. I'm guessing there's a lot of Asian American kids there, right?
Mad Asian American.
That's what I'm thinking. Australia, I don't know exactly where you grew up. I don't know if you were surrounded by a lot of Asians growing up. Certainly not Asian Americans. I wondered if you, when you first went to UC Irvine, I know you said it was the best year of your life.
Yeah.
You know, did you have a lot of Asian American friends? Was it weird seeing them? And did you feel like Asian Americans had a completely different vibe than Asian Australians? Because I know there are a lot of Asian Australians. And like, tell me about that. Like, what was
it's
different
like,
about us?
It's like, it's weird. It's like alchemy. It's like ups and downs. There's pluses and minuses, right? Like in Australia, it was nice. Like I actually didn't have that stereotypical, like, oh, bullied in high school. Like everyone was super welcoming. You know, I had a lot of white friends. I had some Asian ones too. I had like four or five. They're like four or five Asian kids that I was close to, you know, in high school. And it was a good experience though, only, and the way I put it is because I think Australia hadn't figured out how to be racist to us yet. Like we were such a young immigrant. We were a younger.
They're downloading the racism package in their mind.
Yeah. It was like, okay, basically like we weren't a threat yet. And it was like, okay, we need to, these guys are so nice. Look at them.
That's
they work
so funny.
So it was actually a nice experience in Australia, but then I came to America and I got a different experience, which was like, oh, at UCI, especially it's majority Asian. And I was like, this is what it feels like to be a majority. Holy shit. This is great. Like, wow, I don't have to explain stuff anymore. Even though, you know, kids back home were nice about it, you're still explaining things, you know? Like,
sure.
And I had, like I said, I had the mildest form of it. I brought like a pandan cake to school, which is a green cake. And most other kids would be like, oh, why is it cake green? But most of the other kids were like, oh, cool. Can I try that? That looks good.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, but you're still different. You're still explaining.
You still have to kind of,
But at UCI, it was like, oh, everyone got it. And then I got into like b-boying there, which was the only way to survive Irvine.
Yep.
Find a subculture. Yep.
Let me tell you. That's what. Yeah. Okay. I want to talk about that too because you started dancing. Were you in a crew? Did you join one of the crews there?
So
which one were you in?
It was a club. It was B-Boys Anonymous. So we weren't ever a full on crew. But it was like Victor Kim and Mike Song were like our.
So you know Mike Song. You know Mike Song.
Yeah. I met him. Y'all were talking about him earlier. I was like, oh shit, fucking Mike Song. And like Kava were gods because that was the year of ABC, America's Best Dance Crew.
They did. I mean, dude, I used to watch that shit in high school in Ohio. Dude.
And
that
we all did. The whole club made it a night every time it was on.
Yeah. So. I feel if you go to UCI, you have to minor in b-boying at least.
Yeah.
Okay. Then everyone has to. And that's why there's so many good dancers because because there's nothing to do there and there's just a bunch of robot Kristens or whatever it is. And the alternative is to doing nothing is to dance. That's why everybody gets just go to the garage, parking garage and let's all dance in the parking garage.
That's so funny. But it's not like the fun kind of dancing where like grinding. You're like, no, we're gonna do this choreographed thing and you have to
very
get choreographed
or b-boy. Right, exactly. Like, that's we're very regimented.
B-boys Anonymous, we were all like not anti-choreo, but none of us were choreographers at all. We were all like freestyle dancers. So we thought we were a little cooler, but like we were just a bunch of like nerdy Asian kids trying to figure ourselves out. But it was the best year of our life because we did. We were all by the crowdsourcing brains of like 18 of us, like we did figure it out. Like not one of us would probably have made it through college in a good shape without the other 17 being like, you know, sort of supporting each other along the way, which is a really nice display of non-toxic masculinity.
That's beautiful.
That is an amazing way. It's like, which dance move helps me discover who I am? You know,
it really was that. Yo, man, we had philosophical conversations.
Which is it? The windmill that helps me uncover my roots? You know,
it was like these really deep conversations couched in like a dancer tropes. Like, you know, if you're the kind of like, if you have the stability to do like hollow backs, you know what I mean? Like, you're that kind of guy. You know, you're like a solid guy. You know, like,
oh my God.
And then Vince, he's like crazier, so he does like the windmills and the power moves. But like, you know, that's Vince. You know, like that's not Vince, you, and that's
man,
okay.
That's who he is. Okay, he comes from a broken home. That's why he can do power moves, you know?
That's why. Yeah, exactly.
What was your thing? I feel.
I was the freeze guy. I was the stacks guy. So I just do a bunch of freezes, transition into like other static holds and stuff.
Strong core. I see that. Yeah. I see that in there. Yes. Yeah.
Yes. Oh my God.
Man. I feel like, honestly speaking, I do feel dance is very close to comedy in that way, because you know you're born with your body and you cannot change that, right? So like, just, and it's cool because you see, that's why like that documentary we always talk about, Battle of the Year, you know,
right?
So you see like, I mean, the Koreans have a completely different body type than like the French. But they're still good because they can
styles.
They can just do something different. And like the Japanese, they don't really do power moves, but they do like this other thing.
Yeah.
And that's okay too, you know? Like a girl like doesn't have to have like a fat ass to twerk. You can just do something else. And I think that's like super encouraging to be like, I just have to figure out what I can do with this, this body.
It's so much of like what you, like you versus yourself. I think b-boying more than a lot of other stuff.
Yeah.
It's like you versus yourself. And if you can like, figure that, like, look at these like 20-year-old conversations coming back, being like, dude, it's shit. If you can figure that out, you got the keys to life, man. You'll never suffer again.
Dude, I think that's so, I mean, now it's like clicking in my mind, because I was not a good b-boy at all, but the kind of b-boying I liked was like the footwork stuff. Like I like doing like real intricate stuff like that, because I felt like I didn't have any kind of explosiveness, but my technique was super good, you know. I was like, I was real into details, you know what I'm saying? That's the kind of
detail oriented.
You're detail oriented.
I'm detail oriented. Like, look at that.
Observational stuff,
you see that?
Man.
Hey, look deeper.
That's so funny.
You open your third eye. Open your
attention to detail, breakdancer.
Attention to detail, breakdancing, dude. And like, you know, that there was definitely people who were like really into like that kind of thing. Like there were some people who were really into like power moves, some people who were like really into like, this guy's got the sickest, like, you know, crazy six step thingy, the combination, whatever he does. And it's like poetry, man. It's like riffing on a guitar, you know, so. How are you feeling, man?
It's up and down, man. It's up and down. It's 22. It's been 2 years since the pandemic started, and been super stressful. I moved. I'm lonely. Yep. I'm sad. I'm always in my head, Mike. I'm always in my head.
You are.
I start spiraling, and I just start thinking about the craziest shit. And sometimes I just feel like I need to talk to somebody.
I know. And if you do need to talk to somebody, you should check out our sponsor, BetterHelp.
BetterHelp will assess your needs and match you with your own licensed professional therapist.
Connect in a safe and private online environment. It's super convenient.
You can start communicating in under 24 hours.
It's not self-help. It's professional counseling.
Send a message to your counselor anytime.
You'll get a timely and thoughtful response, plus you can schedule weekly video or phone sessions.
All without ever having to sit in an uncomfortable waiting room.
BetterHelp is committed to facilitating great therapeutic matches, so they make it easy and free to change counselors if you need.
It's more affordable than traditional offline counseling, and financial aid is available.
Plus, they have licensed professional counselors who specialize in things like depression, stress, anxiety, and other areas.
I want you to start living a happier life today. As a listener, you'll get 10% off your first month by visiting our sponsor at betterhelp.com/Asian. Join over 1 million people who have taken charge of their mental health. Again, that's BetterHelp, HELP.com/Asian.
When I first met you, you had a real Mulan's boyfriend vibe going, okay? With the hair.
I'm surprised you know? Didn't get that role. I don't know if you went out for it, but that's
for real.
Was I doing that half up, half down thing?
You had the half up, half down thing.
Yeah,
I'm pretty sure
you had
a scimitar or whatever. You got the hair. But it looks like your hair's, I mean, I guess it's been shorter now, but like we wanted to talk to you about your hair because we did a hair episode. And you were like real excited about it.
You messaged us about it. Yeah, man.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Did you listen to that episode?
I haven't yet. It's I'm not quite up to speed yet.
So we kind of talked about like, and you look like you have nice straight hair, but like we basically talked about like a lot of Asian people, men and women, they have these like traumatic experiences getting their hair cut as a kid because the person cutting them doesn't know how to deal with Asian hair. And that was sort of like the main theme of the the episode. But yeah, I'm wondering like what your haircut, because now you know what you're doing clearly. But like, I wonder if you, you know, especially if you didn't grow up in a community that with like Asian barbers, you know, did you have any moments like that where you're like, oh, my hair is so different from others?
Yeah, you know, growing up, I never saw it as a bad thing. Again, like I had the least bad form of racism that it could possibly be. Like, you know, I remember one kid kind of like being like, he was like mussing with my hair because I have dead straight hair. And like, you know, it was kind of that, not really a bowl cut. It was like, it was okay. And he was like mussing with it. And he was like, no matter what I do, it doesn't get tangled at all. Like, I don't understand what's up with, like, no matter what, I can just do this for like 5 minutes and it doesn't get tangled. It's so straight. It's really nice. I love it. I wish I had it. And I was like, touch of nice. It was
like, it's like the nicest bullying ever. Yeah.
Okay. Well that made me feel really good about myself. But like recently, like it was, I think on set is like a different thing, right? Cause, and this is where we get into like some weird parsing of cultures and like what it takes to make it in our business, because end of the day, like as much progress as we're making, we're still working within a system, right? Mm. Like if we're talking about our appeal to audiences or like, you know, there is something to like, yeah, you have to look presentable and you have to like, people have to kind of maybe find you attractive in certain roles, you know, the direction I've gone with my acting and sort of where I am, that's something I've had to tackle with. Right. And a lot of the times when we're talking about audiences, like big general audiences looking at you through that lens, you're talking about them looking at you through what makes a Western person attractive. Right. My hair, when you don't do it up, is like Ai Ling's hair, or it's like an Asian supermodel catwalk, like kind of dead straight silky curtains. Like, and that's, I don't think generally what like Western women or like Western men of like a non-heteronormative perception like find attractive. So in the early stages I had to like be like, hey, we want to texture it up and like make it look like, give me beach waves, give me those give me those like Heath Ledger like Knight's Tale kind of like things going on, and no one knew how to do that. Like they could do it easy for white hair, but for us it didn't happen so easily. It was always like, oh, but your hair's already like really nice, like we don't need to do anything to it, so let me just put like a tiny bit of product in it, and then by the end of the day it was just curtain. And I remember like a few comments, like even back when I was doing Shannara, because I was an idiot and I read comments and reviews. Like one guy being like, his hair is so like silky and shiny, it doesn't look like it's been on a battlefield at all. Like, what is this bullshit? And I was like, I took that personally, and I was like, well, fuck, I told them to make it like look rugged and like manly, but like they couldn't do it.
Oh my God.
Yeah. And that kind of actually matters in the early stages, or did like a few years ago. Now I think we're getting better about it. You know, we can be better about it. Just letting Asians have Asian hair, whatever texture it takes, you know.
Dude,
some of us have curly hair, some of us have.
I feel that's like, not that I'm like a famous actor or anything, but like that's like literally one of my fears is like if I like land some role, no matter how small it is, like if they want to do my hair differently, I just know they won't be able to do anything with it. Like it took me like 30 years to figure this out, and I just know they can't do anything with it. And like that, having that conversation gives me so much anxiety.
Yeah, look, even as recently as like a few months ago, I did a small film, and like the guy, I was so like, because I'm used to it now. Like it's been a thing. Every single set that I've been on, that's happened. They've been like, we don't need to do anything. And like, you actually 100% do. And I was like really firm with the guy. I was like, look, it fucking eats up product. Asian hair eats up product. It looks like white hair on the surface, but you don't need a lot of white product to make white hair do what it needs to do. You need to use half a fucking tub.
Absolutely.
And make it look like it doesn't. And he's like, no, no, no. And he was like, yeah. Like he sort of like agreed with everything and then just didn't. And I was like, dude, come on. And I bring my own product at this point to a lot of shows, because I just expect that it's easier. It's easier than me fighting the white guy who has never done Asian hair before.
Yes.
That's my advice, is bring it and do it how you like to do it.
Oh my God. That's fucking real, man. I did this like commercial shoot a little bit ago, and like they like wanted to like cut some of my hair out at the bottom, and they didn't do much, but I didn't know what they were gonna do. And I remember being like, just so you know, I have Asian hair, and it's like weird. I'm sorry. I like apologize for it, and they were like, "No, we can cut all kinds of hair." And I'm like, I don't know if you can, but whatever. They didn't do much, but like if they wanted to make a drastic change, like I don't know how I would have handled that, because I don't know how to have that conversation, especially in a professional setting where like if I'm paying you to make my hair look good, I'm allowed to be like a little bossy. But like if I'm featuring in your project, I feel weird being like, don't do that. But also I know you don't know what you're doing, you know.
I think it's good. I think it's good to like start putting our foot down, because I see some shared DNA with a lot of like people who've been really, really successful in this industry, or like actors and stuff. And it's not, it's, Look, there is an overlap with a certain type of toxic bullying personality, but a lot of the guys who are doing go and girls who are doing really well are very firm in what they say. And like, I'm trying to
Well, they
adopt a
know
bit of
what
that
works for
DNA.
them, I think.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Yeah, that makes sense. I feel wanted to ask you, you heard me sort of talking up top. I started going out for some commercials just because I think it'd be interesting. I think if anything, it would help me with stand up. It
Oh,
was
yeah,
it's
man.
always been something I've been like not like excited about.
Yeah, you've never wanted. Yeah, I remember you saying that to me. You're like, I never want to
I,
do acting. It was like a, it was like a zero for you.
on the little tiny little you know micro project things. I like being on set. I think it's cool, but I think I always come of it to it as like kind of like a you know from a writer's point of view, like, oh, how do the characters work now? But now I'm like trying to think about it the other way. If as someone who's like receiving and trying to like channel whatever character, I mean, you know, like I have no idea where to start. I've only done like two things. One of them was like, pretend you're on an exercise bicycle, and I was like, okay, that was I'm an asshole. For me right now, I just think of it as, and I don't want to think of it as, because right now I think of it as, okay, I'm just going to be embarrass myself for 5 minutes, you know, and that's how I'm approaching it. I don't think I obviously shouldn't be thinking of it like that. I don't know if there's any foothold that you would recommend. Just to, I know acting is a huge thing, and I should probably take a class. But you know what I'm saying? Like, just the mindset that I have is like, I'm just trying to try to get through this, you know?
It's hard when you're like doing something that you're not. You know, commercials are great. They pay well, and they some of them can be a lot of fun. It's hard when you're, but it's also hard when you're like doing something that doesn't specifically speak to you. And I think at that point, it's okay to let passion go and just be like, hey, I just have to get through this. You know, like I have to turn out a good product. And that's sometimes not even a bad directive on the stuff that you're really passionate about, because it goes the other way. It's like, you know what? I'm overthinking this. I just have to turn out a good product. You know, getting over that like embarrassment thing is that's a tricky one, because like when I was a kid, I always gravitated towards the embarrassing characters. Like I don't know what that says about me, but like I watched The Hangover and I was like, I want to be Zach Galifianakis.
Well,
I
you
want to be
can't, okay? That's me. All right.
the weirdo. So I'm like comfortable in those like kind of dumbass roles in a way. Like, but it I yeah, it's just a slow shaving of like little things over time, and like sort of expanding your reality to fit the reality of what you can portray on screen, right? Like when you're first starting out, you have a very narrow sense of like what you can do. And it's basically like when they say stretching, it just means stretching that, right? Because you know, when I started, I had short hair and I had like kind of a nerdy vibe, and I was like, I can't do like gangster warrior thugs, which is all the roles that were existed when I was getting in. That's why I grew my hair out as well, because it was a marketing move. It was like Marco Polo was on the air. It was like a couple of other things, and I was like, oh, that's all like gritty stuff. So I like started doing that, and I was working with a mate of mine as well, who has the sensibilities to do like very. He's very cool. He's a very cool guy. He knows how to be very cool and very tough and very like suave and like. Or like gangster, and like just working with him put that in my reality, and like I was able to be that in real life, I guess, or at least the very like surface level of that, and then that could be work that would then work for like the acting. You know, and recently it's been trying to reclaim some of that not nerdier, but like just normal. Like you don't have to play all these hyper aggressive, hyper masculine guys anymore. It's been trying to like pull back on that, and like getting back to where I started. So it's a constant shifting of the target, basically.
That makes a lot of sense though, as far as just like incorporating something into your reality. Because I feel with stand up, it's very much like defining your one point of view again and again and again, which is great, and that's why I love this art form. But like it can sometimes lead it so that you don't try to like be more than you are, I guess you could say. You know, like you're in this space like all the time.
Which is not a bad impulse. I think you have to be who you are when you're actually doing the job, right? Like if they've hired you for the thing, and like there's no time to do any of that external work, but like, and that's when you should 100%. And I think that's something that comedians have over everyone else, is they have a very strong sense of like stage identity, at least. And lean into that, I think, when you're on the jobs, because that's usually why they've hired you. I mean, like Ronnie, early movie and TV roles was like angry Asian guy, you know what I mean? Like that's his, that's and
Yeah,
then he will
very
say
angry.
as much. Like, and he's look, he undersells himself as an actor. I think he's great. He's actually very good, but that's what people wanted when they hired him for certain scenes, and that's just what he leant into. And then outside of that, then he was like expanding, you know what I mean? And then you can do that outside, and then come in and surprise him maybe.
Yeah. All right, well, Desmond, yeah. I'm coming for your shit, okay? All right,
you and I,
100% overlap on all the roles we've got, okay? Except one thing I wanted to kind of close off on. We talk about Asian hair. We haven't talked about Asian facial hair. You got great facial hair, bro. Was it tough for you to do this? Or is this something you're just like, yeah, I got it, you know?
I
look like a fucking... What was that?
Overtime. It took a while. Okay. I always wanted it because I have a pet theory. And no one's proven me wrong on this yet. Feel free to go. I haven't done the research or statistics.
Okay, here we go.
It seems like a thing. Like, you cannot win an Oscar if you don't have the ability to grow facial hair. You don't have to have grown it for the role or have to have it.
What the fuck?
But name me one male actor who has won an Oscar who doesn't have the ability to grow facial hair.
Desmond, pull out the whiteboard with the conspiracy theory that I know you've been working on.
I brought my wool yarn, guys. I'm sitting it up in my room. Yeah.
Come on, Al Pacino. Okay, check it out. 1974.
Winners male list. Hold on. Yeah.
Plenty have won it without facial hair.
Okay. Okay. Rami Malek. I don't know. Can he grow?
You see that man's stubble? You see Freddie Mercury?
Like a little
That's
bit, but not like.
Hair?
Yeah. Oh, maybe. Okay. Okay. Hold on. Sean Penn? Can he grow?
Yeah, for sure. Sean Penn could grow.
Okay. What was that role? We had the whole big ass beard.
Jamie Foxx.
Oh, dude. Yeah.
Jamie Foxx has a beard. He's got that. He's got the little small. Yeah, you got a goatee.
Dude, I think you're right. It's like Tom
I think
Hanks.
You might be right,
dude.
Desmond, this is it.
Fuck.
Broke the code, guys. Broke the academy.
Broke the code, okay? You're fucking Neo right here.
Dude, that's a new hashtag, Oscar's so hairy.
You know
Oscar's
what it
so
is,
goatee.
You know why it is? It's because like everyone like, just cause like all these clean cut guys, like everyone starts out clean cut. For the most part, everyone starts out clean cut. And then, like, when you want to get edgy and, like, people
are edgy.
A good actor, it's like, ooh,
right.
You grew a beard.
Yeah.
And I think that systemically puts Asians on the back foot. Like, I'm privileged, I'm lucky enough to be able to do this.
Right.
But, like,
I think you're right about
Asian
that.
Brothers aren't, you know what I mean? And they're great actors. It's just that, like, dumbass audiences can't look at an easy tell that they're doing good acting.
Yeah, look at this. Good, yeah. It's kind of like it's kind of like when an actor tries to make himself like uglier in order to like be taken seriously. You know, look at me, I'm so, oh man, I'm so rough. And I got this patchy mustache.
Yeah, I mean, like Leonardo DiCaprio is the king of that. You know, like
that's what he does.
Plays
the man can grow facial hair.
Yeah. Fuck. And you know what? You're right. Because like what's that movie he did where he wears the bear, the Revenant.
Yeah, the Revenant.
Yeah, you can't you can't play that if you're like. Who plays McLovin on? That guy, he's a white guy, but he can't grow facial hair. That guy could not play the Revenant. It just wouldn't work.
He can't do it.
It doesn't work.
They
got to CGI that on. They got to CGI facial hair on. It's not going to work.
Shit. That's,
okay.
Well, wow. Well, that's problematic, but very true. This is something that Mike and I think about a lot, and we're not hating. We're not hating. Okay, we're just observing. And
just
I don't even know if you've noticed this, and if you haven't, maybe you have no answer to this, which is totally fine. But I feel that sometimes, and I can say this because Mike and I are not like active actors, but I feel like Asian American actors and maybe comedians too are in like direct competition with Australian / British Asian actors.
Yes.
For roles. Yes. And
look, Desmond's laughing, but this is the evil laugh. He's like, this is the evil laugh.
And and it feels that you guys always win because our theory is that when you have like a white casting director, you know, they don't really understand like Asian American things. Like, oh, what is it that Asian Americans do again? Like, what's your archetype? What is the thing? But like, if you have an accent, even if you look like me, if you have an accent, they go, I know what British is. James Bond, I get it. You know, like in a weird way, growing up in Australia or Britain makes you more American because like I know what that is. Whereas like
I know
they don't
on.
Necessarily know Mike because Mike is like, a guy who eats pho at Garden Grove, and they're like, I don't know what
don't
any
know
of those
is.
Words
yep.
mean.
They know what's going on.
And he break dances, you know.
It was something that we noticed more before, but even I mean, first of all, I will definitely say I think British accents is like that's your the key to success for everything. Because I just watched Eternals, and everybody has a British accent in it, even though they're aliens. Yeah. And I'm like, or whatever they are.
Oh,
and
the,
I'm
just big, like, the big Asian guy, he's got a British accent?
He doesn't have a British accent, but he's like probably the only one. And you know what Kumail had to do in order to compensate for not having a British accent? He had to get absolutely ripped. Okay, that was his. That was what he had to
That's
do.
The
he's
only
like, I don't
way
have a British accent.
The
so
only
he, can,
way.
He has to bench press 400 pounds. That's how he could overcome it. That's my conspiracy theory. I pulled out the whiteboard.
Take it out. It's like
I
want
to know.
It's you, Ronnie Chang, Alexander Hodge, Chris Pang are the most active Asian male actors right now in America, and you guys are not from here.
I think. It weirdly, like me, Chris, Alex, we're all in Adele's film. So that was a weird
thing
that kind of happened. And
the conspiracy whiteboard.
I don't think you're wrong. And I have thought about this, and I do have a theory that, again, it might be just me taking things far too seriously, but there is, okay.
You were right about the hair thing.
I love
this. You were right about
it. People who grow up in America are better at being American.
Yes.
Let me unpack that.
Yes.
To defend a whole bunch of people. But here's the thing, right? You guys who grew up here in America, or like anyone who sort of grew up here in America, like you guys are forging your own path. You're forging a new version culturally of America. Everyone who grew up outside of America grew up with our experience with America is pop culture. Yeah. We're growing up with all the stuff that everyone is seeing, everyone's consuming, and sort of like subliminally, it gets in there, I think. And that crosses over with the producer and casting director impulse to whenever they say they're looking for a new thing, whenever a producer or a casting director is like, we were looking for a new thing, what they actually mean is they're looking for the new thing on the Olive Garden menu.
What's the new breadstick dip?
Exactly. Yeah, yeah. So the fact that we come in with this subliminal, bringing them a version of America that they're comfortable with that represents the golden years of what they're used to and what they've seen for years, and they've gotten to film because they love it, right? I think they want that more than like where you guys are broaching your American culture currently.
Because our shit is too new. This is some real shit right here.
Mike and I are on the secret menu. We're not even on the fucking menu.
We're not even, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. You didn't know that you could order chow mein at Olive Garden.
And this is the problem. This is problematic as fuck, right? Like, this is just another like systemic racism thing, fundamentally, like benefiting from like half-coded Western things the same way that like kind of like half Asians do sometimes as well. Not to take away from it, but half Asian brothers and sisters, you are all Asian, where you belong. But like, there are some coded advantages. You know what I mean? It's the new item on the Olive Garden menu, and I think there's a bit of that. I think there's something.
Wow.
So it's kind of like you're kind of playing back America back to Americans, but it's like a little. It's like
a comfort food version.
Right, but it's like, it's different. It's kind of like Asian, but I know this guy because he's doing the thing I know.
Yeah.
Whereas like if I come in there and I bring in like my crazy, you know, Jalua sausage, no one's gonna know what that is.
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying? You just got on Bulba.
You're trying to step into Hollywood with your bowl of Bumble Way, and they're like, what is that? what is that even? Why do you
can't even
that?
Do that? Where
and
is that?
It's got a lot of garlic, and you're like, I don't think I want that.
I want macaroni and cheese, but you know what? Like,
with kangaroo meat in it.
Put an accent mark.
Just a little bit.
That's fucking, dude.
Damn, Desmond. You're two for two here. Two for two on this motherfucker.
You're fucking smart guy, man.
Jesus Christ.
Oh my God. That's brilliant. That's really fucking brilliant. Holy shit. But all these things, it's like, all these conspiracies, if they are true, Mike and I are so fucked.
it's one of those things where it's like, again, this is a sample size of one Desmond. I don't have all the answers, but like, I've pushed my career and I've made the choice to be like, I'm going to push my identity towards those like comfortable spaces, if that makes any difference. Because like, I'm the kind of guy who works within the system. I got to make a living. You know what I mean?
It is
chilling fundamentally. Like if you break it down, it's chilling.
Right.
A little bit. And it doesn't feel great. But hopefully it puts us in a position to like, you know, I want to open this up for like all my everyone, you know,
let me ask you something. Have you had Asian American actors say something like that to your face, or have you had this conversation with, is this a thing that they're also noticing?
Yeah, 100%. Yeah, I think so. And it's something that we've talked about, and something that like my group of Aussie boys, like we talk about it as well. And I think there is something to the level of actor that makes it out here as well. Just on to get out of Australia, you need to be quite good already.
Right.
To have made it to any of the schools here, or visa-wise, to be able to get that like special visa, you need to have something already. So we've already gone through one filtering process. You really just get the best of our country over here. That's the other part of it, to, you know, sort of be fair and balance out that equation. Is like, so statistically, I think some of us, in terms of like the number of Asian Australians or Asian British people in Hollywood at any given time, like probably more of us are working in terms of the percentage of us, just because
interesting.
So many of us have already been through like the initial steps in we're a little seasoned, basically, as well.
Right. Yeah. Right.
I'm pretty seasoned.
You are. You're fucking seasoning our brain with knowledge. That's what you're doing. Jesus. Holy shit, man. I didn't know I was gonna take the red pill today. Okay.
I know. This is
I wasn't prepared for that
Mike
shit.
Mike and I are coming out of that goo shit, you know? and Desmond's the big ass robot, like fucking grabbing us.
Are we all gonna be on Joe Rogan's podcast next? Like,
Yeah.
No evidence for it, but we're cracking
open. Okay, check this out, okay? You know, first of all, don't take the vaccine. Second, British speaking Asians are, you know, and he's gonna be like, tell me more. Okay. Wow. All right.
I love that.
Okay. That was amazing.
Desmond. No, thank you, guys.
Yeah. Thank you so much for doing this podcast, man. This was absolutely amazing. We had such a blast. Before we say goodbye, is there any, what do you like our fans to know about? Where can they find you and your work?
Where can they find you? Yeah. Anything you want to plug?
Well, you can find me at DesGM, both on Instagram and Twitter. As far as plugging, I've got With Love out on Amazon right now. It's a fun little holiday thing. If you miss
right
the
now.
Holiday period, take a look. There's also there's a Hot Mess Holiday, which is on Comedy Central and Hulu, I believe, in Paramount Plus, which is a fun South Asian kind of like heist, Christmas, romance, romp thing. It's everything. It's so fucking funny. And then, of course, we'll have Partner Track on Netflix coming out next year at some point, at some point. That's what we're in New York for. Those are the main things.
God damn, the flex.
Beautiful. Beautiful.
And you can follow us on all those social platforms at AsianNotAsianPod. Also, please follow me at the Fumi Abe, that's CHEFUMI8BE.
And you can find me on Instagram at NicePantsBro.
The next Hack City is going to be February 11 in New York City at Union Hall, 7 p.m. in Brooklyn. I'm actually going to be in town, so I will be there for that show.
Holy shit.
I'll be there. It's going to be a reunion.
I mean, if you're around.
Oh, if you're still in New York, come through,
love you to come through.
Yeah, we'll do. We'll
February 11th. It's a good time. We party afterwards. So it's good. And then I'm also doing Hack City in L.A. February 26th. I had to move it because of Omicron. So 26th, we're going to do a first one in L.A. And some of you guys bought tickets already. Airliner, 8 p.m. That's in Lincoln Heights. Some of you guys already bought tickets. So those are still valid. And then just go to fumiabe.com for tickets. And I think that's it. Desmond, thank you so much. So good to have you on the pod.
This was amazing.
Amazing. Anals, we love you. We'll see you guys next week. Bye.
Bye.
Peace.
Look around. You can find cars like these on AutoTrader. New cars, used cars, electric cars, maybe even flying cars. Okay, no flying cars, but as soon as they get invented, they'll be on AutoTrader. Just you wait. AutoTrader.